الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Today's khutbah was regarding, it was more than one thing actually, but the Shaykh put them together as one subject because they have something in common between them, although they're not really the same. And the first thing he touched upon is taysir, and the fact that our deen is easy, and facilitation, things being facilitated, is something that is for our, the foundation of our deen, the way of life that we live as Muslims, submitters to Allah, is based on a foundation of facilitation. Facilitate, yani to make things easy, not to make things difficult. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Verily, what Allah wants for you is ease, and Allah does not want any hardship for you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants things to be easy for us. And there's a rule and a principle in our deen, a qaida, that whenever there's hardship, then you have an exception and a concession to leave something alone. Yani, let's assume Allah decreed that you have some problem with your knee. Tayyib, and it's really painful for you to make ruku' and sujood. Once this is your situation, Allah will not hold you accountable for doing ruku' and sujood. You could do salah while you're sitting down on a chair. Why? Because you have a reason, and it's going to be difficult for you to harm yourself or maybe harm yourself by doing it. Allah does not want anybody to be harmed, so you can leave alone ruku' and sujood, although they're part of the salah. And if you're able to do them and you don't do them, alaykum salam, and there's nothing wrong with you, then your salah is unacceptable. But if you have a valid excuse, then it is okay for you to leave them alone, because Allah will not give us more than we can handle. And our deen is based on this principle. And this is throughout everything in our deen. It's one of the qawa'id of fiqh. It's one of the principles of jurisprudence, which is the way the scholars look at textual evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah, and then they make a decision or a ruling based on their understanding of these texts. And that principle goes the whole way through, from the beginning till the end. Anytime, even if you're a Muslim, and somebody put a gun to your head and say, if you don't commit kufr right now, if you don't say the word of disbelief right now, I'm going to shoot you. At that point, you are allowed to disbelieve with your tongue, so you can save your own life, although your heart is comfortable with iman. You know what I'm saying? So you don't say, no, there's no ease in our deen. So you say, no, I'm not going to say nothing, alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, and the person winds up harming you. Tayyib? Don't worry about who comes in, who goes out. It will keep happening. The shaitan doesn't want you to focus. You need to focus. Inshallah, focus. Anywho, so the Shaykh began with this. Then he quoted some hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Aisha said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was never given the choice between two affairs, except that he chose the one which was easier, as long as it was far away from haram, things that are prohibited. So if you're given a choice between two things, you choose the one which is easier, as long as they are both acceptable in our Islam. But something halal, something permissible, something accepted, and something prohibited, and you have a choice, you don't choose, of course the easy one will be the haram one. You cannot choose the haram one at this point because it's easier. That's not what the Prophet ﷺ used to do. He used to choose the easier, as long as both things are acceptable. Why? Because he is trying to teach us and implement this principle that Allah gave us as a gift, to take things easy and not to cause hardship upon ourselves. Also the Prophet ﷺ, the Shaykh quoted, when he would send a da'iyah, when he would send somebody to call people to Islam, he used to tell them, give glad tidings to people, and don't burn them out, don't depress them, don't despair them, and make things easy, don't make things difficult. Verily, you were sent as facilitators, not as people who make things difficult. And so this is for us to apply as well. Specifically when you're dealing with non-Muslims, some of your family members and your relatives, we try to take things as easy as possible as long as we are not disobeying Allah. Okay? As long as there's room for ease, take it easy. For the benefit that will happen when you do take it easy with them. Perhaps they would admire Islam. Perhaps they'll be interested in accepting Islam. But if they ask you to do something haram, Allah, let's go to the church. You can't be going to no church. Not anymore at least. And so you can now, Allah, our deen is easy. Bismillah, yalla, let's go to church. And go watch people disbelieve in Allah. That is not acceptable. But other things where ease is allowed, and you have to ask somebody who has knowledge when you are put in this position. You don't just make your own ruling. Because Allah says in the Quran, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. So each one of us is not a mufti. He doesn't make his own Islamic verdict. So Allah, he thinks like this, I think this is the correct position, and he acts. We don't have enough knowledge. None of us has enough knowledge to be at that position. We have to refer to the trustworthy scholars who prove it through textual evidence. He doesn't just tell you do this, you have to know why. He will tell you because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran such and such, and because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did or said such and such. This is why this is the correct position. So this is the first element that the Shaykh dealt with, which is ease. Taysir. Okay, yusr. All of them are the same derivatives from the same root word, which is ease and facilitation. Then the Shaykh went to another aspect, and they all come in hand, like I said, they have something in common, but they're not the same, which is al-leen wal-rifqu. Al-leen, al-rifq is, wa'alaikum salam wa rahmatullah, is being gentle. Being gentle and being easy going with the people. And then he mentioned many narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he alayhi salatu wasalam told us that gentleness, when it is added to anything, it gives it goodness. And when gentleness is deprived or is taken out of anything, it makes it ugly. So anytime you're trying to send a point across, if you are not gentle, this is from last week, we haven't done it, huh? If you are not gentle in the manner you try to enjoin the good or forbid the evil, okay, you are deprived of some goodness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be extremely gentle when in such situations. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ غَلِيظًا فَضَّ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. Verily by the mercy of your Lord, by the mercy of Allah, you became easy with them and gentle with them. Had you been stench and hard-hearted, they would have run away from you. This is why a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and he grabbed him by his collar. And he started going back and forth like this. He said, Ya Muhammad, give me from the money. Give me from the money that Allah gave you, not from your money. So the companions, who didn't like even a hair to land on the Prophet ﷺ, they were about to get up on this guy and teach him a lesson. You're disrespecting the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. And I will strike the easiest example. If you were sitting and somebody came to your father, طيب, and he grabbed him like this, you will automatically get up and do something. Because there's some defense mechanism in you that will not allow your father to get disrespected. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is more beloved to them than their mothers and their fathers and their grandpas and their children and their wives and everybody. Because this was the Messenger of Allah. So you can imagine how the companions felt at this point with this man, whoever he is, mistreating the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, leave him. Then he took him to his house. And his house sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't have anything. He didn't have some big sofa and an air condition and some kitchen and some food. He had barely nothing in his house. So he said, take from whatever you want and leave whatever you want. So upon this, the man said, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أنك رسول الله. He said, I bear witness that there's no God worthy of worship but Allah and that you are the Messenger of Allah. Wallahi, these are the characters of prophets and messengers. This ain't a regular man. So the man was about to go away. The Prophet ﷺ said, come tell my companions what happened. So he came to them and he told them that Because of this, he accepted Islam. Then the Prophet ﷺ struck an example. He said, "Verily, my example and your example and the example of this man is like a man who had a camel and it ran away from him. So he started chasing this camel, trying to bring it back. So the people of the city, the people who live in his town, seen him chasing his camel, they said, 'We want to help him.' So they started running with him, chasing the camel. All this made the camelists freak out more. The camel was being chased with one person, now it has 50 people behind it. So the camel was, man, I'm out. If one catches me, I might run away from him. But 50 people behind me, I'm in trouble." So the camel started running faster. He said then, if the people left him alone, then the people left him alone. So he just got some grass from the ground and he waved like this to the camel. So the camel came back at itself and he ate it and he got his camel back. He said, "If I had let you take this man and beat him up, he came as a non-Muslim. He came aggressively. If I had let you take control of him and teach him a lesson, he would have only run away further. He already had an issue with Islam and he came and had an issue with me, and you would have only made him run further away from Islam. But because of that gentleness that was the retaliation of harshness, he accepted Islam." Just like that camel came back to the man. And this is how the Prophet ﷺ used to conduct himself. And you know the stories about the Jewish kid who used to put trash in front of his house. And then one day he didn't find the trash. He was concerned about this man. Well, how come there's no trash in front of my house? So he went to visit him. He found him sick. You know the story. One of us will say, "Who's this putting trash in my house?" He go open his window, throw it in his house. Say, "Put the trash in front of my house one more time. I'm going to show you what I will do." Which one of us will just go throw it in the dumpster and say, "Alhamdulillah"? Yani, you know, we're far away. But anyways, this is what the Prophet ﷺ used to be in terms of being easy and being gentle with the people. Tayyib, and this is a principle. Of course, there are exceptions to the rule. You cannot always be gentle, because sometimes if you're gentle, people will step all over you. So you are to use wisdom and know when to be gentle and when not to be gentle. Sometimes you have to be firm upon your deen. Otherwise, the people will just try to swing you like a flag. So you want to remain grounded in your place. So we use wisdom, and the tawfiq comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The assistance comes from Allah for us to know which way we're supposed to act. Gently or otherwise. But the rule, the principle is gentleness throughout the actions. Then the Shaykh mentioned, maybe Allahu A'lam, 15 narrations. And I'm not going to try to recall them because I do not recall them. But he mentioned the position of the murabbi, the person who teaches the people things. And that when he is gentle with the people, like the father with his children, when he is gentle, when he is kind, he will acquire the hearts of the people. And his message will become easier to be delivered. You'll have an easier time delivering the message. Whereas if you were firm and harsh all the time, people will just want to run away from you. And so he was advising the people who are teaching people things, whoever they are, and especially the dua, those who call people to Allah, to utilize and make sure that they adapt this mentality of being gentle with the people, as long as the boundaries of Allah are not being crossed. This is why Aisha radiallahu anha said, the Messenger of Allah would never take revenge for himself. But if the boundaries of Allah were crossed, he would get angry and nobody would be able to oppose him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would get angry for the deen of Allah when the rights of Allah are being violated. When people will disobey Allah and don't care about it. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then would get angry for the deen of Allah, not for his own self, that is for his personal revenge. If it was for his personal revenge, when the angel came and told him about those who mistreated him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he gave him the da'wah, and the angel said, "If you want, I will make the two mountains just snap on these people, and I will crush them. If you want, O Messenger of Allah, all you gotta do is say, go ahead." When he went to give him da'wah, and they had the children throw rocks at him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until he was bleeding, and Allah sent an angel and told him, if Allah says, "If you will, I will make the two mountains just smash them right now." He said, "No. But I ask Allah that from their children, somebody will come who will worship Allah alone." And indeed, that was the case with those very people who the majority of Muslims came from this particular tribe. So, the Prophet ﷺ wasn't a person who took revenge for his own personal matter, but he was very jealous for the deen of Allah. And this is when we are supposed to utilize our firmness. This is when we are firm. This is when we cannot really just smile and let things go. If you know that something is haram and is displeasing to Allah, our love to Allah will make us not accept it. If we see a family members disbelieving in Allah, associating partners with Allah, something in our heart should make us feel uneasy. You cannot just sit there and feel all good and comfortable when you know that the Creator of the heavens and the earth is being disrespected and being attributed things to Him that He does not attribute to Himself, and claiming things against Him that He did not reveal anything about them. So then we have something in our heart, and we should not accept or be satisfied with it. If we're able to change it, alhamdulillah. If we're not able to change it, then we take peace and we don't cause more problems. So this was the khutbah in more or less. The first portion dealing with taysir, making things easy whenever there's hardship. The second part is being gentle, gentle with each other, gentle with non-Muslims as well. Gentleness with Muslims and gentleness with non-Muslims, those who are not in war with Muslims. You don't be gentle with a soldier who has a gun against your wife and your children. Tell him, barakallah feek, want me to make you some coffee or tea? Okay, this ain't gonna happen right now if somebody in this position. But those who you live with among non-Muslims, who don't have any problems with you and not trying to get you out of your homes, those people are the ones that you try to be as kind and gentle as possible. Perhaps Allah will guide them to Islam. If they see some bad behavior from you, you will destroy the da'wah. They might never accept Islam because of one word or one action that you do. So we need to be very careful about that. So the final reminder is that we need to be gentle and we need to take things easy and we need to live like this until the day we meet Allah, as long as it is not haram. If it is haram, brothers and sisters, then we have to be jealous for the deen of Allah. Okay, and it's a sign of taqwa and piety. والله تعالى أعلم وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.